Welcome, John Barnett here from Discover the Book Ministries YouTube channel. And I'm sitting here in a hotel room between sessions that I'm teaching. And I've gotten so many of you that have sent me notes and comments and said, I wish that you would call or text me, or I wish I could meet you and you would show me what you're talking about. And it's especially in this discipleship series I've been doing. I call it the 52 key chapters of the Bible. You can see it on the screen in front of you. 52 meaning there's one a week for a year-long course to master the content, the doctrines, theology, and the application of scriptures. Now remember my favorite verse, those of you that listen very long, Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Thy word was found, and I did eat it." The goal of our life is lifelong scripture digestion, eating the word of God. Jeremiah 15:16 goes on to say, "And thy word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name." The word of God, when we find it and eat it, transforms our lives. What I'd like you to specifically see in this lesson is a passage I'm working on right now in Romans 6:11-13. If you have your Bible, you notice in verse 11, and I'll just read it to you. Romans 6:11 says, "Likewise ye also reckon." This verse, Romans 6:11, has the first imperative in the book of Romans. Now, what I mean by imperative is a command. God says, first I want you to know what I've done, and that's Romans 1:1. So from 1:1 of Romans to 6:10, God says, I want you to know what I've done, all that God has accomplished. Then, right here in verse 11, God says, now this is what I expect from you. I want you to apply. I want you to respond to what I say. Basically, we were born into this world slaves of sin. Now, babies don't look like slaves to sin, but you cross them. You take away their toy or don't give them the piece of candy or the cookie they want, and they can have horrible rage. All of us are slaves to sin, and it grows over the years. When we get older, we start becoming slaves to fear, slaves to our pride. I mean, life encircles us. Maybe jealousy when others get something that we don't. Lust. There are many that struggle with the desires of the flesh. They, in this time, like right now, what is this, June 12th, we're right in the middle of phase one and two reopening, but so many people have been closed in during the pandemic. They've been online, binge watching, binge surfing, and getting binge defiled. And so we all, in different ways, are slaves of sin. But Romans 6:11-13 talks about how to become slaves to God. And that's really what I want to share with you. The turning point of the book, thus, is right here in verse 11. We must know what God has done before knowing what we should do. So we are to reckon, verse 11 says, ourselves to be dead indeed to sin. The word reckon is the Greek word, and it's fascinating, logizomai. Remember, that's a command or an imperative. Logizomai means we operate on what we know to be true. In other words, during this recent $1,200 per working person in America gift from the federal government, the CARES program, I think it was called, a debit card or electronic transfer was made to people's accounts. Debit card mailed, electronic transfer made. And if you knew that you had $1,200 in your account, you would operate on that. You'd go to the ATM and withdraw some, or you'd take your debit card and spend some, buy food, whatever, pay a bill. This is exactly what God's talking about. Logizomai, which is in verse 11, reckon in the New King James, means operate on what you know to be true. once you know what God has done, see, this is what the first five chapters and into six is all about in Romans, what God did through Christ on the cross by the justifying death of Christ. Then we know what we must do. And that's the turning point of this book. Now, for those of you just joining us, this is a year-long study that I'm doing. I call it the 52 key chapters of the Bible. These 52 key chapters summarize the whole Bible. And basically, these are the chapters that in this study, this is a face-to-face discipleship program I'm doing. I personally have met face-to-face with scores of students and discipled them. But we go through Genesis, the creation, the fall, the global flood. Then we get into Abraham's call, the Exodus, Ten Commandments, jump to David and Goliath, David and Bathsheba, on through until we get to down here, the 24th passage is the end times, Israel's role. Then we go into the New Testament and look where we are. We're right now, this lesson is a one day of the week-long study of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. Justification, sanctification, which is what we're talking about, becoming slaves to God, useful to God, sanctified, and all about our eternal access to God, prayer and faith. You can see all these other incredible topics that we cover. And basically, while you're watching this video, listening, it's like you're sitting on the other side of the table. And countless people in Starbucks, in Panera, Chipotle, have sat on the other side of the table with their Bible. I have my Bible open, and I'm showing you from the Scriptures the truth of God and showing you how to find it yourself. And that's what this 52-chapter study is about. Now, a real, very important, vital resource is right here on this page, the MacArthur Study Bible. In the opening explanation for the 52 key chapter study, there's a video about the resources. One of them is this, the MacArthur Study Bible. Let me just show you for Romans 6. See this line right there? This, above the line, is the text of the Bible. So those are the Scriptures. These are the notes down here. Wow. A study Bible by John MacArthur, who was a gifted Bible expositor, exegete, and student of the Scriptures, is the consistent interpretation. In that video, I explained to you all the charts and all the resources, the maps and the tables and everything else. But just for what we're looking at, verse 11 right there, see that note? That's based on this verse right here. So in a study Bible, if you look down, you find, see verse 12 has a note, verse 13 has a note, verse 14 has a note, the section 15 to 23, that's what a study Bible does. In location, as you're reading the Bible up here, as you read the Scriptures up here, you pause and look down and see if there's any important insight, notes, background, word studies that you can find. MacArthur Study Bible, in my opinion, is, if you read the MacArthur Study Bible, the notes down here and the introductions, it's like going to Bible college. It's like going to a Bible institute. In fact, if you read the whole MacArthur Study Bible, the notes down here, there are 25,000 of these notes in the whole study Bible. It's equivalent of sitting through a couple years of Bible Institute. So I would encourage that. Okay, Romans 6 has the keys to overcoming sin. All of us build up our besetting sins as we go through life. And, you know, it starts out with impatience, selfishness, all these things. Pride grows through life. In fact, I tell people that sin is reptilian. Reptilian. What that means is a reptile grows bigger every year of its life, and so do sins. They're reptilian. So what's the key to overcome? Not eradicate, We'll never be able to get rid of sin, not until we're in the presence of Jesus Christ and glorified. But while we're here on earth, what do we do about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, fear, jealousy, you know what I mean, all the things we struggle, and especially those besetting sins captivate us. There are many people that they just are slaves to their sin, whether it's an eating disorder or whether it's a lust disorder, immorality, whatever. How do we overcome? Well, Romans 1-5, the book of Romans, has two parts. The first five chapters describe the justifying death of Christ. What exactly is that? God treats Jesus on the cross like he committed every one of my sins and yours. That's what justification is. Now I could pause there. That's one of the largest doctrines in the Bible. On the cross, God treated Jesus like he committed all my sins. Now watch this. Here's a timeline. I was born in 56, saved in 62. Today is 2020. And until the Lord comes or calls, I'm alive. So here's my lifetime right here. On the cross, God treated Jesus like he committed all the sins I committed from when I was born until I got saved. Those were my past sins. All the present sins that day in 1962, and all of my future sins. God treats, he imputes to Jesus Christ every one of my sins and yours. Now, Jesus paid on the cross the penalty. That means he took the punishment for my sins. So the penalty for my sins. But here's something most believers don't understand. He erased the record of my sins. So that means when Jesus died on the cross, all of my sins were in the future. 1956, 1962, and 2020. All my sins were in the future. And so Jesus Christ paid the sins chronologically that were past from the day of my birth till my salvation, the sins of that day, and all into the future. Jesus paid the penalty. He erased the record of my sins. That's how we overcome by faith guilt. Do you remember that chorus, when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within? Upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sins. That's Jesus Christ, who took the penalty and erased the record for all my sins. Now, that, remember, what God has done, we need to understand before we know what God expects from us. That's what God has done. Now, what does God expect from us? The justifying death of Jesus Christ opens the sanctifying life of Christ. Now, here's a verse. If you haven't memorized it, it's important to memorize. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. But it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So it's Christ living in me. Christ who lives out through me. And you say, what are you talking about? Well, think about this. Every day, we make choices. When someone wrongs us, hurts us, scorns us, tempts us, whatever, harms us, we can either respond from us, from our flesh, from our anger, from our hurt, from our pride, from our jealousy, our fear. Or we can say, it's no longer I, but Christ living in me. What do you think the fruit of the Spirit is? Remember Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is Christ's personality. When I'm walking in the Spirit, I have a personality transplant. It's no longer I, but Christ living in me. It's his personality. It's his love and joy and peace. So let's go through these verses, and I'm going to just read from my Bible and point some things out for you. Therefore, do not let, number one, all struggles we have with sin are choices. Don't think that sin just happens. Sin is a choice. We allow it. Now, once we get into kind of patterns, it's a habit, and it just happens. But it happens because of a choice, because we have chosen to yield, chosen to give in, chosen to respond. But the first lesson is sin is a choice, and so is sanctification. Number two, it says don't let sin. How do we know what sin is? Sin is what God, in his word, defines as sin, as disobedience, as unrighteousness, as not going his way. So number two, God defines, not culture, not popular opinion. I mean, right now we're looking at the Black Lives Matter rioting and everything going on. Seattle particularly is in the news, the downtown area. God defines what's right and wrong. Society doesn't, culture doesn't, public opinion doesn't, majorities don't. God does. Let God be true and everyone a liar. So God defines what sin is. Now look, here's an important word. Don't let sin reign. This is not talking about the presence of sin. Remember I told you we'll never be free from the presence of sin. So it's not sin around and sin showing up in my life. It's the rule of sin. It's the unbroken, ongoing domination of my life by sin. So the third lesson in this verse is, God says, don't let sin reign. Where does sin reign? Where's the battlefield? It's our mortal body. It's our physical life, our emotions, our feelings, our mind, our senses, our eyes, our ears, our communication, our mouth. And here's the key. Everything is about who are we going to obey? Who do we obey? When I was a youth pastor, I used to tell my young people, only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. It's still true. Who are you going to obey? Who is your body going to obey? So the final word in this verse that's important is lust. What are lusts? Well, the word is epithumia. Epi is a preposition, means it emphasizes and kind of says it's enhanced desires or well-fed desires. But basically, lusts are our desires. It's actually a neutral word. We're supposed to have desires. We're supposed to hunger and thirst after righteousness. We're supposed to love our husbands, our wives, our family, our children. We're supposed to enjoy the world. These are all desires. But epithumia is when we have desires that have been enlarged. We've fed them, and they're wrong. See, enlarged desires are lusts. So desires are good. Lusts in the Bible are bad. They are deadly. They are destructive. They are reptilian, as I said. Now, the next verse, and do not present. Again, this speaks of all of sin and righteousness as being choices. Now you say, didn't we just cover that in verse 12? Uh-huh. Remember, Paul's working with people who didn't have smartphones. They didn't even have a copy of the Bible. They are trying to remember. So Paul used a very effective, repeating, enhancing, enlarging, emphasizing way of teaching under the inspiration of God's Spirit. So he repeats, do not present. It's a choice. Again, he says, the battleground is our members. That's our body, our senses, mind, you know, eyes, ears, and mouth. Don't let them become tools, instruments of unrighteousness. All unrighteousness is sin. It's going away from God. See, going toward God is righteousness. Going away from God is unrighteousness. Now pause. Think about your besetting sins. If we were all alone at Panera, you know, at Starbucks, I'd say, what are some things you struggle with? Many young men, they tell me, well, I'm not married. I have physical struggles, lust. I go, Do your thoughts about young ladies make you go toward God or away from God? If they make you go away from God, they're unrighteous. Toward God, they're righteous. Always, we have to say, how does God define things? Is this sin? Does he say it's wrong? Okay, but present. There is the key of the Christian life. It's a choice to present ourselves to God. Remember, we're alive from the dead. We've been crucified with Christ. Jesus died in our place. We were nailed to the cross with him. Our sins were nailed to the cross with him. He removed the record and the punishment, took the punishment for our sins. But now we're supposed to present ourselves and, look at this, our members. We have to surrender our eyes. Do you remember what Job said? He said, I made a covenant with my eyes to not look on a young woman, a maiden. We're supposed to have our ears. It says in the book of Psalms that I have the ear of a servant, that I listen for your way, O Lord. My mouth, the Psalms say, set a watch at the door of my mouth that I sin not against you. How about our body? Hey, there's a great verse. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present your body, what? A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And your mind, verse 2 says, our minds are to be renewed. Verse 1, give your body. Verse 2, renew your mind. We can offer ourselves as instruments of righteousness. Now, this morning, I woke up about 5:30. It was dark. We're here in this hotel. I sat on the edge of bed. I looked down at the floor. And do you know what I saw on the floor? I saw a circle. And you know what? That circle became a target. And I stood in the middle of that circle by the bed and said, Lord, this is an altar of dedication. I surrender to you. And so every day, I start the day, and when I pause throughout the day, I say, Lord, I want you to take my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my body, my mind. I want my body surrendered, my mind renewed, my mouth guarded, my ears to be your servants. I just want to listen and let into my mind things that please you. You know what it says in Psalm 101? I will set nothing wicked before my eyes, Psalm 101. That was the vow of purity that David took. I want my body, my members, to be instruments of righteousness to God. So let's just summarize, because in the devotional method, which is what we're doing, and if you want to understand that, that's the early lesson where I explain the 12 types of Bible study in the devotional method. But with the devotional method, you list off the lessons, the truths, the principles that you find in the scripture. Okay? Number one, sin and sanctification are choices. They don't just happen. And so you've got to make choices to deny sin and to yield sanctification. What is sin? God defines it. It's not getting out of the presence of sin. It's the fact that we are always going to be around sin, but we're not going to allow it to rule. That was the third lesson. The physical and temporal battleground is our body, our mind, our members, eyes, ears, mouth. You understand? The key to all this is surrender. And really, the key is to present, give back to God. Now, remember, the devil wants to discourage us. And many of you have struggled with fear, with jealousy, with anxiety, whatever it is. It's just, again, surrender. Say yes to Christ. Say no to sin. How many times? Well, Jesus told Peter, when he said seven times, he said, no, 70 times seven, which means no limit. Just keep saying no to sin. Keep crying out. And no matter how many steps, remember this, no matter how many steps, look, we're taking steps away from God. These steps are away from God, going this way. No matter how many steps we take away from God, it's only one step back. And that one step back is to repent. And every time we repent, no matter how many steps we've gotten away from God, we come right back as close as it's possible to be to Him. Now remember, lust is reptilian, and it's always the focus. What are you feeding? Are you feeding your spirit with prayer, with meditation? Are you feeding your spiritual life with the Word of God? What we learned in verse 13 is, again, it's a repetition. It's always about choices. Satan's plan is to enslave my members, get my eyes glued on what displeases God, my ears used to listening. What pleases God? Philippians 4:8 tells what you should be thinking about and listening to. It says in verse 8, whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, that's what we think and talk about. Satan wants to enslave us to things that are not pleasing to God. When we do that, we're falling away from God. We've taken steps away from Him. But remember, it's only one step back. That one step back is repenting. What is repenting, by the way? It's a change of mind that leads to a change of behavior. It's me saying no to sin. I come back to you, O Christ. And that's because God's desire is that we be His tools, instruments in our Redeemer's hands. Now, all the devotional method, after you title the passage you're reading and find the lessons. So you make a title. My title for this one is The Justifying Death of Christ Opens, remember it was in a slide earlier, For Me, The Sanctifying Life of Christ. All these lessons were on the last two pages. Now this is the prayer. Now this is the hardest part. And in all the years that I've taught this, many say, oh, this is a great verse for my husband, for my wife, for my children, for my friend, for my co-workers, for whatever, my roommates. And I say, no, the purpose of Bible study is not to find verses for them primarily. It's for the Lord to change me. I'm looking in a mirror when I read the Bible. And as I look in the mirror, I see everything that needs to be changed until I can be conformed to Christ and have Christ-likeness. So this prayer right here is me taking this passage that we just looked at, verses 11, 12, and 13. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead, Lord. I don't want to keep choosing to sin. That's the beginning. Say it out loud to the Lord. You said sin is a choice, so I say no to my sin. See, this is a prayer. I actually wrote it down. That's why in this study, I encourage people, one of the most valuable things you can do now after you buy your Bible and your study Bible is to get a journal. And actually with pen and ink or pencil and ink, write the title of the passage, the lessons you've found, like we just did, and write out a prayer. Oh my, write out a prayer. We are to put into words, Lord, I don't want to keep choosing to sin. You said sin is a choice. I say no. Right now, I want to tell my mind, not yell it. I want to tell my mind, my eyes, my ears, my body to you. No, what is that? Surrender, I guess. You can tell I was writing this out fast. I want to, let's say, give my mind, my eyes, my ears, and my body to you. I want to surrender. Help me, O Christ, to let your sanctifying life live in me. Martin Luther used to say when Satan knocked on the door, he'd say, Jesus, could you answer the door? He said, it's not I but Christ. And when Satan tempts, I let Christ answer the door and say no to him. I know your justifying death erased my sin and broke the the hold of sin in my life. I choose to love and obey you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's our little session. If we were sitting in Panera or Starbucks, we both have our Bibles open. I'd be pointing out these verses. You'd be reading them from your Bible. I'd be commenting on them. We would formulate our prayer. That's my prayer with all the mistakes and misspellings that I just wrote out this morning after studying this. And then I would close in prayer. So that's what I'd like to do right now with you. Dear Father, I thank you for this moment we can share. I pray that all who are listening and watching would bow before you right now and say, Lord, I don't want to keep choosing to sin. You said sin is a choice, so I say no to sin. Right now, I want to give you my mind, my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my body. I want to give them to you. Help me, O Christ, to let your sanctifying life live in me. I know your justifying death erased my sin and broke the hold of sin on my life. So I choose to love and obey you now, in Jesus' name. And why don't you say it with me? Amen. God bless you. May the Lord bless this devotional method in your life.